Recorded Books presents Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros. Narrated by Rebecca Soler. With Justice Boulding, Teddy Hamilton, and Jasmine Walker. To the ones who don't run with the popular crowd, the ones who get caught reading under their desks, the ones who feel like they never get invited, included, or represented. Get your leathers. We have dragons to ride. Onyx Storm is a nonstop, thrilling adventure fantasy set in the brutal and competitive world of a military college for dragon riders, which includes elements regarding war, hand-to-hand combat, blood, intense violence, brutal injuries, gore, murder, death, animal death, injury rehabilitation, grief, poisoning, burning, perilous situations, graphic language, and sexual activities that are shown on the page. Readers who may be sensitive to these elements, please take note and prepare to face the storm. The following text has been faithfully transcribed from Navarian into the modern language by Jacinia Neilwart, curator of the Scribe Quadrant at Bezgaith War College. All events are true, and names have been preserved to honor the courage of those fallen. May their souls be commended to Malak. An excerpt from Recovered Correspondence of General Augustine Melgrin to His Majesty King Tari. Securing Bezgaith and the wards has come at great cost, including General Sorengale's life. Strategy must adjust. It is in the realm's best interest to ally with Poromiel, even temporarily. Prologue. Where in Malak's name is he going? I hurry through the tunnels beneath the quadrant, trying to follow, but night is the ultimate shadow, and Zayden blends seamlessly into the darkness. If it wasn't for our dragon's bond leading me in his general direction and the sporadic disappearance of mage lights, I'd never think that he's masked somewhere ahead of me. Fear holds me with an icy fist, and my footing grows unsteady. He kept his head down this evening, guarded by Bodhi and Garrick, while we waited for news about Sawyer's injury after the battle that nearly cost us Bezgaith. But there's no telling what he's doing now. If anyone spots the faint, strawberry-red circles around his irises, he'll be arrested and likely executed. According to the texts I've read, they'll fade at this phase. But until they do, what could possibly be important enough for him to risk being seen? The only logical answer sends a chill up my spine that has nothing to do with the cold stone of the corridor seeping in through my socks. There hadn't been time for boots or even my armor after the click of the closing door woke me from a restless sleep. Neither of them will answer, Andarna says, and I yank open the door to the enclosed bridge as its counterpart on the far end snicks shut. Was that him? Sigale is still incensed, and Tairn smells of both rage and sorrow. Understandable. For all the reasons I can't allow myself to dwell on yet. But inconvenient. Do you want me to ask Cure or Crod? She starts. No, the four of them need their sleep. No doubt we'll find ourselves on patrols for any remaining Venon come morning. I cross the freezing expanse of the bridge with increasingly uncertain steps and jolt at the view outside the windows. It had been warm enough for thunderstorms earlier, but now snow falls in a thick curtain, concealing the ravine that separates the quadrant from Bezgaith's main campus. My chest clenches, and a fresh wave of seemingly endless tears threatens to prickle my painfully swollen eyes. It began about an hour ago, Andarna says gently. The temperature has fallen steadily in the hours since. Don't go there. My next breath shakes, and I force everything I can't handle into a neat, mentally fireproof box and stash it somewhere deep inside me. It's too late to save Mom, but I'll be damned if I let Zayden get himself killed. You can grieve, Andarna reminds me as I pull open the door to the healer quadrant and enter the crowded hall. Wounded in every color of uniform line the sides of the stone tunnel, and healers dart in and out of the infirmary doors. If I wallow in every loss, that's all I'll ever have time for. I've learned that lesson well over the past 18 months. Passing a set of clearly intoxicated infantry cadets, I cut through what's become an expanded sick bay, searching for a blur of darkness. This part of the quadrant didn't sustain any damage, but it still reeks of sulfur and ash.
May your mother be remembered to General Sorengale, the Flame of Basgaeth,
one of the third years calls out, and my stomach twists tighter as I forge ahead without reply. When I approach the corner, then turn it, I see a patch of darkness enveloping the right side of the wall for a stuttering heartbeat. And then the stairwell to the interrogation chamber appears, flanked by two groggy guards. Shadows slip down the steps. Fuck. Usually I love being right, but in this instance I was hoping otherwise. I reach for Zayden mentally, but there's only a thick wall of chilled onyx. I have to get past these guards. What would Mira do?
She would have already slain your lieutenant and been confident in her choice, Andarna answers. Your sister is an act first, ask questions later kind of rider.
Not helpful. What little I'd eaten for dinner threatens to reappear. Andarna's right. Mira will kill Zayden if she finds out he's channeled from the earth, regardless of the circumstances. But confidence? That's not a bad idea. I muster every ounce of arrogance I can scrounge up or fake, straighten my shoulders, lift my chin, and stride toward the guards, praying I look steadier than I feel. I need an audience with the prisoner. The two men glance at each other, and then the taller one on the left clears his throat.
We're under orders from Melgrin not to allow anyone down these steps.
Tell me. I tilt my head and fold my arms like I'm strapped with every dagger I own, or am at least wearing footwear.
If the man directly responsible for your mother's death was a flight of stairs away, what would you do?
The shorter one looks down, revealing a cut beneath his ear.
Orders,
the taller one starts, glancing at the ends of my sleep-loosened braid.
He's behind a locked door, I interrupt. I'm asking you to look the other way for 5 minutes, not give me the key.
My gaze darts poignantly to the key ring hanging on his blood-stained belt.
If it had been your mother and she'd secured the kingdom's entire defense system with her life, I promise I'd afford you the same courtesy.
The tall one blanches.
Goverson,
the short one whispers.
She's the lightning wielder.
Goverson grunts, and his hands flex at his sides.
10 minutes, he says. 5 for your mother, and 5 for you. We know who saved us today.
He motions toward the stairwell with his head. But he doesn't know. None of them realize the sacrifice Zayden made to kill the sage, their general.
Thank you.
I start down the stairs with wobbling knees, ignoring the pungent scent of wet earth that claws at the outer edges of my composure. I can't believe he came down here.
He probably seeks information, Andarna notes. I cannot blame him for wanting to know what he is.
The longing in her voice startles me on multiple levels.
He isn't a soulless Venon. He's still Zayden. My Zayden,
I snap, holding tight to the one thing I'm certain of as I make my way silently down the stairs.
You know what channeling from the earth does, she warns.
No?
Yes.
Except? Absolutely not.
If he'd completely lost himself, he would have drained me at any number of points tonight, especially while I slept. Instead, he ensured our safety and risked exposure to sit at my side for hours. He channeled from the earth once. Surely we can repair wherever his soul may have cracked. It's the most I'm willing to admit. I already know what Tarn thinks, and the possibility of fighting both of you is exhausting, so please, for the love of Amari, be on my side. The bond directly between us shimmers. All right. Really? I pause on the stair, splaying my hand on the wall to catch my balance. I am as unknown as he is, and you still trust me, she says. I will not be another battle you have to fight. Oh, thank gods. Her words seep into the marrow of my bones, and I hang my head in relief. I hadn't realized how badly I needed to hear that until she said it. Thank you. And you have every right to know about where you come from. But I have no doubts about who you are. I start down the remaining steps, sure of my footing. You alone should make the choice to find your family. And I'm worried that Melgrin... I scorched the venom during the battle, she interrupts in a rush of words that run together. You did. My brow puckers as I spiral downward toward the interrogation cells. I'd been too shocked at her appearance, the way her scales had shifted, to think about the burning dark wielder. As far as I know, we've never caught one on fire. Tarn hadn't said anything either. I've been thinking about it all night. Magic feels different when I change color. Maybe my use of power in that moment altered the venom, weakened her enough to blister. And Darna slows enough to enunciate her words, but not by much. That could alter everything. Muffled voices sound beneath me, and I quicken my pace. It's definitely worth investigating later. Not that I'm willing to risk Andarna by shouting that she might be our newest weapon, especially not when the rumor has already circulated that we'll seek an alliance with Poromiel. What could be worse than leadership endangering Andarna? The whole continent's leadership seeking to do the same. You can fight it all you want, but that power streaming through her veins? Jack taunts, his words growing clearer as I near the final few turns. There's a reason the higher-ups want her. A little brotherly advice. Fall in line and find someone else to fuck. That infamous control of yours so much as flickers in her direction. I would never, Zayden retorts, his voice lethally icy. My heart rate doubles, and I halt just before the last curve in the stairwell, keeping out of sight. Jack's talking about me. Even you don't get a say in which parts of us are taken first, Ryerson. Jack laughs. But speaking from personal experience, control goes quickly. Just look at you, freshly fed from the source and already down here desperate for a cure. You will slip, and afterward? Well, let's just say that silver hair that has you so besotted will be gray like the rest of her. And those weak-ass initiate rings in your eyes won't just last a few days. They'll be permanent. Not going to happen. Zayden bites out every word. You could deliver her yourself, chains rattle. Or you could let me out and we'll do it together. Who knows? They might let her live just to keep you on a leash until you turn asim and forget all about her. Fuck you. My hands ball into fists. Jack knows Zayden's channeled. He'll tell the first person who questions him, and Zayden will be arrested. My mind spins as the two start to argue only yards away, their words blurring in the whirlwind of my thoughts. Gods, I could lose Zayden just like... I can't. I won't. I refuse to lose him. For him to lose himself. Fear fights to rise, and I snuff it out, denying it air to breathe or grow. The only thing stronger than the power prowling within me is the resolve stiffening my spine. Zayden is mine.
my heart, my soul, my everything. He channeled from the earth to save me, and I'll scour the world until I find a way to save him right back. Even if it takes bargaining with Takaris for access to every book on the damned continent, or capturing Dark Wielders one by one to question, I'll find a cure. We'll find a cure, Endarna promises. We will exhaust every closer resource first. But if I'm right, and I somehow altered that venom inadvertently while changing my scales, then the rest of my kind should know how to master the tactic. How to change him. Cure him. My breath stutters at the possibility. The cost. Even if you're right, I'm not using you. I want to find my family. We both know the order to locate my kind is inevitable now that your leadership knows what I am. Let us do so on our terms and for our own purposes. Her tone sharpens. Let us follow every possible path to a cure. She's right. Every possible path may require breaking a few laws. Dragons do not answer to the laws of humans, she counters in a tone that reminds me of Tarn. And as my bonded, as Tarn's rider, you no longer answer to them either. Rebellious adolescent, I mutter, forming half a dozen plans, half of which might work. Even as their rider, there are still some crimes that would demand my execution. And that of whomever I trust to involve. I nod to myself, accepting the risk. At least for myself. You'll have to keep secrets again, Endarna warns. Only the ones that protect Zayden. Which currently means preventing Jack from revealing this conversation without killing him, since we can't afford the manhunt the death of our only prisoner would cause. You sure I shouldn't ask Cure or Crod? No, I start down the stairs. There's only one other person besides Bodhi and Garrick I can trust to prioritize Zayden's best interests. Only one other person who can know the truth in its entirety. Tell Glane, I need Imogen. An excerpt from Violet Sorengale's personal addendum to the Book of Brennan. I will not die today. Strike through. I will save him. Chapter 1. 2 weeks later. Flying in January should be a violation of the Codex. Between the howling storm and the incessant fog in my goggles, I can't see shit as we cut through the blustering snow squall above the mountains near Bazgaeth. Hoping we're almost through the worst of it, I grip the pommels of my saddle with gloved hands and hold tight. Dying today would be inconvenient, I say down the mental pathway connecting me to Tarn and Endarna. Unless you're trying to keep me away from the scenarium this afternoon. I've waited more than a week for the invitation-disguised order to come from the King's Council. But the delay is understandable, given they're on the fourth day of unprecedented peace talks happening on campus. Poromiel has publicly declared they'll walk after the seventh day if terms can't be reached. And it isn't looking good. I only hope that they'll be in an agreeable mood when I arrive.
Want to make your meeting? Don't fall off this time, Tarn retorts.
For the last time, I didn't fall off, I argue. I jumped off to help Sawyer.
Don't remind me.
You can't keep leaving me off patrols, Endarna interrupts from the warmth and protection of the veil.
It isn't safe,
Tarn reminds her for what has to be the 100th time.
Weather aside, we're hunting Dark Wielders, not out for a pleasure flight.
You shouldn't fly in this, I agree, looking for any sign of Riddick and Atrum. But there's only walls of white. My chest tightens. How are any of us supposed to see topography or our squad mates, let alone spot a Dark Wielder hundreds of feet below in this mess? I can't remember a more brutal series of storms than the ones that have battered the War College in the last 2 weeks. but without... Mom. Grief sinks the tips of her razor-sharp claws into my chest, and I lift my face to feel the stinging bite of snow against the tops of my cheeks, focusing on anything else to keep breathing, keep moving. I'll mourn later. Always later.
It's just a quick patrol, Andarna whines, jarring me from my thoughts. I need the practice. Who knows what weather we'll encounter on the search for my kind?
Quick patrols have proven deadly, and I'm not looking for reasons to test Andarna's fire theory. Dark wielders may have limited power within the wards, but they're still lethal fighters. The ones who didn't escape post-battle have used the element of surprise to add multiple names to the death roll. First Wing, Third Wing, and our own Claw section have suffered losses.
Then practice evenly dispersing enough magic to keep all your extremities warm during flight, because your wings won't hold the weight of this ice.
Tern growls into the falling snow.
Your wings won't hold the weight of this ice,
Andarna blatantly mocks him.
And yet yours miraculously carry the burden of your ego.
Go find a sheep and let the adults work.
Tern's muscles shift slightly beneath me in a familiar pattern, and I lean forward as far as the saddle will allow, preparing for a dive. My stomach lurches into my throat as his wings snap closed and we pitch downward, slicing through the storm. Wind tears at my winter flight hood, and the leather strap of my saddle bites into my frozen thighs as I pray to Zinal there isn't a mountain peak directly beneath us. Tern levels out, and my stomach settles as I tug my goggles up to my forehead and blink quickly, looking right. The drop in altitude has lessened the intensity of the storm, improving visibility enough to see the rocky ridgeline just above the flight field.
Looks clear.
My eyes tear up, assaulted by both wind and snow that feels more like tiny projectiles of ice than flakes. I clean my lenses using the suede tips of my gloves before snapping them over my eyes again.
Agreed. Once we hear the same from Fjerg and Kruth, we'll end today's endeavors, he grumbles.
You sound like making it 3 straight days without encountering the enemy is a bad thing. Maybe we've really caught and killed them all. As cadets, we've slain 31 Venin in the area surrounding Bezgaeth while our professors work to clear the rest of the province. It would be 32 if anyone suspected one of them was living among us, though. Even if he's credited with 17 of the kills.
I am not comforted by the quiet.
Wind whips overhead with a crack, and Tern's head jerks upward. Mine immediately follows suit. Oh no. Not wind. Wings. Atrum's claws consume my vision and my heart seizes with panic. He's dropping out of the storm directly on top of us.
Tern!
I shout, but he's already rolling left, hurling us from our course. The world rotates, sky and land exchanging places twice in a nauseating dance before Tern flares his wings in a jarring snap. The movement cracks the inch-thick layer of ice along the front ridges of his wings, and chunks fall away. I draw a full but shaky breath as Tern pumps his wings with maximum effort, gaining 100 feet of altitude in a matter of seconds, and barreling straight toward the brown sword tail bonded to Riddick. Wrath scalds the air in my lungs, Tern's emotions flooding my system for a heartbeat before I can slam my mental shields down to muffle the worst of what streams in through the bond.
Don't!
I shout into the wind as we come up on Atrum's left. But as always, Tern does whatever he wants and full-on crunches his jaws within what looks like inches of Atrum's head.
It was clearly an accident.
One that would usually be avoided by dragons communicating. The smaller brown sword tail squawks as Tern repeats the warning. Then Atrum exposes his throat in a gesture of submission. Riddick looks my way through the band of snow and throws up his hands, but I doubt he sees my shrug of apology before Atrum falls away, heading south to the flight field.
Guess Fjerg and Rhee reported in.
Was that really necessary?
I drop my shields and Tern's and Andarna's bonds come flooding back at full strength, but the shimmering pathway that leads to Zayden is still blocked. dimmed to an echo of its usual presence. The loss of constant connection sucks, but he doesn't trust himself, or what he thinks he'll become, to keep it open yet.
Yes,
Taryn answers, declaring the single word sufficient.
You're almost twice his size, and it was obviously an accident,
I repeat as we descend rapidly to the flight field. The snow on the ground of the Box Canyon has been trampled into a muddy series of paths from the constant patrols second and third years are flying.
It was negligent, and a 22-year-old dragon should know better than to close himself off from his riot simply because he's arguing with his rider.
Taryn grumbles, his anger lowering to a simmer as Atrum lands beside Rhee's green dagger tail, Fierg. Taryn's claws impact the frozen ground to Atrum's left, and the sudden landing vibrates every bone in my body like a rung bell. Pain explodes along my spine, my lower back taking the brunt of the insult. I breathe through the worst of it, then accept the rest and move on.
Well, that was graceful. I jerk my goggles to my forehead.
You fly next time.
He shakes like a wet hound, and I block my face with my hands as ice and snow fly off his scales. I tug at the leather strap of my saddle when he stills, but the buckle catches along the jagged, shitty line of stitches I put in after the battle, and one of them pops.
Damn it. That wouldn't have happened if you'd let Zayden fix it.
I force my body out of the saddle, ignoring the aching protest of my cold, cramped joints as I make my way across the icy pattern of spikes and scales I know as well as my own hand.
The Dark One didn't cut it in the first place,
Taryn responds.
Stop calling him that.
My knee collapses, and I throw my arms out to steady my balance, cursing my joints as I reach Taryn's shoulder. After an hour in the saddle at these temperatures, a pissed-off knee is nothing. I'm lucky my hips still rotate.
Stop denying the truth.
Taryn enunciates every word of the damning order as I avoid a patch of ice and prepare to dismount.
His soul is no longer his own.
That's a little dramatic.
I'm not getting into this argument again.
His eyes are back to normal.
That kind of power is addictive. You know it, or you wouldn't be pretending to sleep at night.
He twists his neck in a way that reminds me of a snake and levels a golden glare on me.
I'm sleeping.
It's not entirely a lie, but definitely time to change the subject. Did you make me repair my saddle to teach me a lesson? My ass protests every scale on Taryn's leg as I slide, then land in a fresh foot of snow.
Or because you don't trust Zayden with my gear anymore.
Yes.
Taryn lifts his head far over mine and blasts a torrent of fire along his wing, melting off the residual ice, and I turn away from the surge of heat that painfully contrasts my body temperature.
Taryn,
I struggle for words and look up at him. I need to know where you stand before this meeting. With or without Empyrean approval, I can't do any of this without you.
Meaning, will I support the myriad of ways you plan to court death in the name of curing one who is beyond redemption?
He swivels his head in my direction again. Tension crackles along Andarna's bond.
He's not...
I cut off that particular argument since the rest is sound.
Basically, yes.
He grumbles deep within his chest.
I fly without warming my wings in preparation for carrying heavier weight for longer distances. Does that not answer your question?
Meaning Andarna. Relief gusts through my lips on a swift exhale.
Thank you.
Steam rolls in billowing clouds from his nostrils.
But do not mistake my unflinching support of you, my mate, and Andarna for any form of faith in him.
Taryn lifts his head, cueing the end of the conversation.
Heard.
On that note, I trudge toward the trampled path where Rhee and Quinn wait. Riddick gives Taryn a wide berth as he does the same to my right.
My nearly numb, gloved fingers fumble with the three buttons on the side of my winter flight hood, and the fur-lined fabric falls away from my nose and mouth as I reach them. Everything good on your route? Rhi and Quinn look cold but uninjured. Thank gods. Still alarmingly routine. We didn't see anything of concern. Wyvern Burn Pit is still just ash and bone, too. Rhi picks a clump of snow from the lining of her hood, then pulls it back up over her shoulder-length black braids.
We didn't see shit for those last 10 minutes, period.
Riddick shoves his gloved hands into his hair, snowflakes slipping off his brown cheeks without melting. At least you're an ice wielder, I gesture to his annoyingly flake-free face. Quinn pulls her blonde curls into a quick bun.
Wielding can help keep you warm, too.
I'm not chancing it when I can't see what I might strike, especially having lost my only conduit in the battle. I glance at Riddick as a line of our tail section's dragons launch for their patrol behind him.
What were you arguing with Atrum about anyway? Sorry about that. Riddick cringes and lowers his voice. He wants to go home, back to Aracia. Says we can launch the search for the 7th breed from there.
Rhi nods, and Quinn presses her lips in a firm line. Yeah, I get that, I say. It's a common sentiment among the Riot. We're not exactly welcome here. The unity between Navarian and Aracian riders crumbled within hours of the battle's end. But the only path for an alliance that can save Peromish civilians requires us to be here. At least for now. Not to mention Zayden insists we stay.
He remains because Navarre's wards protect you from him.
Taren blasts another stream of fire when I ignore him, heating his left wing, then crouches before launching skyward with the others. The courtyard is nearly empty when we enter through the tunnel that runs under the ridgeline separating it from the training grounds. In front of us, snow tops the dormitory wing, the centered rotunda that links the quadrant's structures, and all but the southernmost roofline of the academic wing ahead to our left, where Malik's fire burns bright in the highest turret, consuming the belongings of our dead as he requires. Maybe the god of death will curse me for keeping my mother's personal journals, but it's not like I wouldn't have a few choice words for him should we meet anyway. Report. Aura Beinhaven orders from the dais at our left where she stands with Ewan Faber, the stocky, sour-faced wing leader of what little remains of Navarre's 4th wing.
Oh good, you all made it back.
Ewan's voice drips with sarcasm as he folds his arms, snow falling on his broad shoulders.
We were so worried.
Prick was barely a squad leader in Claw when we left, Riddick mutters.
Nothing this morning, Rhiannon replies, and Ara nods but doesn't deign to say anything. Any news from the front? My stomach knots. The lack of information is agonizing.
Nothing I'd be willing to share with a bunch of deserters, Ara answers.
Oh, screw her.
A bunch of deserters who saved your ass.
Quinn offers a middle finger as we continue past, our boots crunching on the snow-covered gravel.
Navarian riders, Aracian riders? We can't function like this, she says to the group quietly. If they won't accept us, the flyers don't have a prayer.
I nod in agreement. Mira's working on that particular issue, not that leadership knows or will allow the use of whatever she's learned, even if it saves the negotiations. Pompous assholes.
Devera and Kaori will be back any day. They'll sort out command structure as soon as the royals ink a treaty that hopefully pardons us for leaving in the first place. Rhi cocks her head as Imogen walks out of the rotunda in front of us, her pink hair skimming her cheekbone as she descends the stone steps.
Cardullo, you missed patrol. I was assigned elsewhere by Lieutenant Tavis, Imogen explains, not missing a beat as she comes our way. Her gaze jumps toward me.
Sorengale, I need a word.
I nod. She was on Zayden duty.
See that you're present tomorrow,
Ree walks past Imogen with the other two, then pauses halfway up the steps and glances over her shoulder as the others head inside.
Wait, is Mira due back today?
Tomorrow. Anxiety ties a pretty little bow around my throat and tugs. It's one thing to form a plan, and quite another to carry it out, especially when the consequences could involve the people I love becoming traitors. Again.
Every possible path,
Andarna reminds me.
Every possible path,
I repeat like a mantra and straighten my shoulders.
Good.
A slow smile spreads across Ree's face.
We'll be in the infirmary when you're done,
she promises, then walks up the remaining steps to the rotunda.
You told the second years what Mira's up to?
Imogen whispers with a sharp bite of accusation.
Only the riders,
I retort just as quietly.
If we get caught, it's treason. But if the flyers do, it's war,
Imogen finishes.
Riddick, did you freeze this door shut?
Ree shouts from the top of the steps, yanking on the door handle of the rotunda with her full body weight before marching through its counterpart to her left.
Get back here and fix it now!
Right, telling them was a solid choice. Imogen rubs the bridge of her nose as Riddick laughs hysterically from inside the rotunda.
The four of you are a fucking nuisance.
It's going to be a miracle if we can pull this off without getting ourselves executed.
You don't have to be involved.
I stare her down in a way I never would have dreamed of 18 months ago.
I'll do it with or without your help.
Feeling snarky, are we? A corner of her mouth tugs upward.
Relax. As long as Mira figures out a plan, of course I'm in.
She doesn't know how to fail.
I can see that.
Snow blows across our faces as Imogen's eyes harden.
But please say you didn't tell your fearsome foursome everything about why we're doing this.
Of course not. I shove my gloves into my pocket. He's still pissed at me for burdening you with the knowledge.
Then he should stop doing stupid shit that needs to be covered up.
She rubs her hands together in the cold and follows me up the steps.
Look, I needed you alone because Garrick, Bodhi, and I talked.
Without me?
My spine stiffens.
About you, she clarifies unapologetically.
Even better, I reach for the door. We've decided you need to rethink your sleeping arrangements.
My grip tightens on the handle as I contemplate slamming the door in her face.
I've decided you can all go fuck yourselves. I'm not running from him. Even in the moments he's lost control, he's never hurt me. He never will.
That's what I told them you'd say, but don't be surprised if they keep asking. Good to know you're still predictable, even if Ryerson isn't.
How was he this morning?
Heat rushes over my face as we walk into the empty rotunda and I push back my hood. Without classes, formation, or any sense of order, the academic wing might sit abandoned, but commons and the gathering hall are congested with aimless, worried, agitated cadets hoping to survive the next patrol and looking to take their frustrations out on someone else. Every single one of us would kill for a battle brief.
Surly and stubborn as always,
Imogen answers when we cross into the dormitory, quieting as we pass a group of glaring second years from First Wing, including Caroline Ashton, which means the truthsayers cleared her.
Lucky for us, the steps leading down to the healer quadrant are blessedly empty.
You consider telling him what we're up to?
He's aware we'll be sent to find Andarna's kind. As for the rest, he doesn't want to know.
I nod at a pair of approaching Aration riders out of Third Wing when we reach the tunnels, but wait to speak until we're out of earshot.
He's worried about being an unintentional leak, which is ridiculous, but I'm respecting his wishes.
I can't wait for him to discover you're leading your own rebellion. She grins as we walk across the enclosed bridge to the healer quadrant.
It's not a rebellion, and I'm not leading.
Zayden, Dane, Ree, they're leaders. They inspire and command for the good of the unit. I'm just doing whatever it takes to save Zayden.
Including the mission to find Andarna's kind?
She throws open the door to the healer quadrant and I follow her in.
That's different. And I'm not leading as much as I am selecting a leader, hopefully.
I glance down the cluttered tunnel, past the quietly sleeping patients dressed mostly in infantry blue, and spot a group of hooded scribes moving among them, no doubt still working to get accurate accounts of the battle.
Sounds the same, but it's not.
Right. The word drips with sarcasm.
Well, message delivered, so I'm done with this conversation. Let me know when Mira gets back.
She walks off toward main campus.
Give Sawyer my best, and good luck this afternoon.
Thanks, I call after her, then turn toward the infirmary. The scent of herbs and metal hits my lungs as I enter through the double doors. I wave at Traeger on my right, who's among the healing-trained flyers doing their best to help where they can. He nods back from a patient's bedside, then reaches for a needle and thread. I continue quickly to the nearest corner, moving from the healer's paths as they scurry in and out of the curtain-lined bays where rows of the injured rest. Riddick's laugh sounds from the last bay as I approach. The pale blue curtains are tied back, revealing a pile of discarded winter flight jackets in the corner and every other second year in our squad crammed around Sawyer's bed.
Stop exaggerating, Rhiannon says from the wooden chair near Sawyer's head, shaking her finger at Riddick, who's sitting on the bed right where our squad mate's lower leg used to be. I simply told them that it was our squad's table and they needed to
take their cowardly asses back to the first wing section where they belonged.
Riddick finishes for her with another laugh.
You didn't really say that. A corner of Sawyer's mouth quirks upward, but it's far from a true smile.
She did. I'm careful not to step on Kat's outstretched legs on the floor beside Marin as I move into the cramped space, unbuttoning my flight jacket and tossing it onto the pile.
Riders get offended by the weirdest things.
Kat arches a dark brow and flips through Markham's history textbook.
We have far bigger issues than tables.
True, Marin nods, plaiting her dark brown hair into a four-strand braid.
How is patrol, anyway?
Sawyer scoots to a more upright position without any help.
Quiet,
Riddick answers. I'm starting to think we've gotten them all.
Or they've managed to flee,
Sawyer muses, the light fading from his eyes. You'll be chasing them down soon.
Not until we graduate, Ree crosses her legs. They're not sending cadets beyond the borders.
Except Violet, of course, who will be off seeking the seventh breed so we can win this war.
Riddick glances my way with a shit-eating grin.
Don't worry, I'll keep her safe.
I can't quite tell if he's teasing or serious. Kat snorts and flips another page.
Like they're going to let you go.
Guarantee it'll be officers only.
No way, Riddick shakes his head. It's her dragon, her rules, right, Vi?
Every head turns in my direction.
Assuming they put us on orders, I'll provide a list of people I trust to go.
A list that's been through so many drafts, I'm not even sure I'm carrying the right one.
You should take the squad, Sawyer suggests. We work best as a team.
He scoffs. Who am I kidding? You'll work best as a team. I'm barely climbing stairs. He nods to the crutches beside his bed.
You're still on the team. Hydrate.
Ree reaches across the bedside table and over a note that looks to be in Jacinia's handwriting to grab a pewter mug.
Water's not going to grow my leg back.
Sawyer takes it, and the metal handle hisses, forming to his grip. He looks up at me.
I know that's a shitty thing to say after you lost your mother.
Pain isn't a competition, I assure him. There's always enough to go around.
He sighs.
I got a visit from Colonel Chandler.
My stomach hollows.
The commander of the retired riders?
Sawyer nods.
What? Riddick folds his arms. Second years don't retire.
Die, yes, retire?
No. I get that, Sawyer starts.
A shrill scream echoes throughout the infirmary in a knee-wavering pitch that's reserved for something far worse than pain. Terror. The silence that follows chills me to the bone, apprehension lifting the hair on the back of my neck as I unsheathe two of my daggers and turn to face the threat.
What was that? Riddick slides off Sawyer's bed and the others move behind me as I step outside the bay and pivot toward the open infirmary doors.
She's dead! A cadet in infantry blue stumbles in and falls to his hands and knees. They're all dead!
There's no mistaking the gray handprint marking the side of his neck.
Venon.
My heart seizes. We haven't found them out on patrol. Because they're already inside.
An excerpt from A Study on Signets by Major Dalton Cisneros. The rarest of signets, those that rise once in a generation or century, have manifested concurrently with an equal twice in our records, both critical times in our history, but only once have the six most powerful walked the continent simultaneously. As fascinating as that spectacle must have been, I would rather not live to see it happen again.
Chapter 2.
They're within the walls, Tern bellows.
Already figured that out. I swap my daggers for two alloy-hilted ones at my thighs and move quickly to hand one to Sawyer.
None of us die today.
He nods, taking the blade by the hilt.
Marin, protect Sawyer, Rhiannon orders. Kat, help whoever you can. Let's go.
Guess I'll just stay here, Sawyer calls after us, muttering a swear word as we take off sprinting between the rows of infirmary beds.
We're the first to make it to the doors where Winifred holds the wailing infantry cadet by his upper arms.
Violet, don't go out there, she starts.
Lock the doors, I shout as we run through.
Like that's going to stop them?
Riddick challenges as we enter the tunnel. Then all three of us skid to a halt at the sight before us. The blankets on every overflow bed down the hallway have been thrown back, revealing desiccated bodies. My stomach plummets. How did this happen so fast?
Oh, shit.
Riddick draws another dagger at my right as two more riders sprint through the infirmary doors behind us, both from second wing. I reach for Zayden and find his shields not only up, but impenetrable.
Frustrating, but fine. I'm perfectly capable of fighting on my own, and I have Riddick and Rhi with me.
You do not have a conduit,
Tern reminds me, which means I can't pinpoint my lightning strikes, especially not indoors.
I've always been far more accurate with daggers than my own power. Warn whoever's riders guard the wardstone.
Already done, he replies.
Check the bridge, Rhiannon commands the two from second wing, and they take off toward the rider's quadrant.
Bring their bodies outside once you're done killing them so we can roast them for fun, Andarna suggests.
Not right now, I calm my breath and concentrate.
Eyes open, Rhiannon says, her voice as steady as her hand as she pulls an alloy-hilted dagger and moves to my left.
Let's go.
Then we move as one, quiet and quick as we make our way down the hall. I keep my eyes forward as Rhi and Riddick check left and right respectively, and their silence tells me all I need to know.
There are no survivors.
We follow the curve of the tunnel, passing the last cot, and a scribe flies out of the stairwell ahead, his robes billowing behind him as he runs toward us at full speed. I flip the dagger in my hand and pinch it by the tip, my heart starting to beat double time.
Which way did they go? Rhi asks the cadet.
The scribe's hood falls back, revealing red-rimmed eyes with spider-webbed veins at his temples.
Nope. Definitely not a cadet. He reaches beneath his robes, but I've already flicked my wrist by the time he grabs the pommel of a sword.
My dagger lodges in the left side of his chest, and his eyes bulge in shock as he falls gracelessly to the tunnel floor. His body shrivels in the span of a heartbeat.
Damn, sometimes I forget how good you are at that,
Rhi whispers, scanning our surroundings as we move forward.
How did you know?
Riddick asks in the same hushed tone, quickly kicking the husk of a body over and retrieving my blade.
A scribe would have run toward the archives.
I take the blade back and wrap my hand around the hilt.
Thanks.
The alloy's hum of power is a little dimmer, but still there, hopefully capable of another killing blow. How many of them had Imogen and I seen on our walk to the infirmary without even realizing? That's how they fed without notice. They're dressed as scribes. Two figures in cream robes approach from the opposite side of the tunnel, mage light shining on their first-year rank, and I prepare to throw again. Drop the hoods, Ree orders. They both startle, and the cadet on the right lowers her hood quickly, but there's a slight tremble in her counterpart's hands as she complies, her wide blue eyes locked on the body at my feet. Is that? She whispers, and her friend wraps an arm around her swaying frame. Yes, I lower my blade, noting that neither of them carry red in their eyes or at their temples. Get back to the archives and warn the others. The women turn and run. Up or down? Riddick asks, facing the steps. Someone shouts beneath us. Down, Ree and I say simultaneously. Great, Riddick rolls his neck. Down the stairwell to the torture chamber where an untold number of freshly fed dark wielders wait. Good times. He takes the lead, switching his dagger to his left hand and lifting his right in preparation to wield as Rhiannon steps in behind me. We edge down the stairs rapidly, keeping our backs to the stone wall, and I send up a silent thanks to Aaron Norris for building Vesgaeth with stone stairs instead of wooden ones with the potential to creak or burn. Pay attention to the present, not the past, Tarn lectures. Metal clangs beneath us, the pitch varying from the ting of colliding blades to the ear-grating rasp of steel scraping against stone. But it's the maniacal laughter mixed with grunts of pain that has me hurrying faster, has power rising, crackling along my skin. Control it, Tarn orders. Quiet time, I remind him, throwing my shields up to block him, knowing he can still push through if he wants. Stop playing with your kill and help us get this door open, someone demands from below. If they want a cell door open, they're definitely not on our side. They've come for Jack. How many guards are on Barlow? Riddick whispers as we near the turn in the staircase that will expose us to whomever waits beneath. Two, Rhiannon's answer is quickly muffled by the sound of a low and painful scream. Make that one, I reply, readying my right hand to throw. The antechamber of the brig comes into view, and my gaze flies over the all-too-familiar space, taking quick stock of our situation. Two dark wielders dressed in scribe robes yank at the unmoving door handle to Jack's cell, while a female pulls her ruby-hilted sword across the neck of a second lieutenant who's been pinned to the thick table with daggers through his hands, and a fourth stands at the edge of the shadows. Her long silver braid swings free of her hood as her attention whips in our direction, and her eerie red gaze jumps to mine and widens slightly under a faded tattoo on her forehead. My blood chills when a smirk tilts her mouth, distorting the red veins at her temples, and then she disappears. I blink against the sudden breeze that rustles a loosened strand of my braid, then stare at the empty space she'd occupied. At least I think she had. Am I seeing things now? Ree gasps behind me, and my focus jolts to the imprisoned guard. Blood floods the table from the rider's wound, and I swallow back the burn of acid in my throat, catching sight of two corpses to the left, one in cream, the other in black. The female with the jeweled sword at the table pivots, her short blonde hair smacking her sharp cheekbones as she turns in our direction, revealing branches of red veins at her temples. I flick my wrist just in case this one disappears too. Riders! Her alarm dies with my blade lodged in the middle of her throat. Riddick rushes the two at the door, but they're ready, one drawing a sword that Riddick blocks with a thick band of ice. I throw my remaining dagger at the other as I jump the last two steps, but the dark-haired Venon moves unnaturally fast, dodging the strike. My blade bounces off the stone wall behind him as I run toward the rider bleeding out on the table. Fuck! Ree leaps over the female's body, headed for Riddick, and I continue on, keeping an eye on the one I missed. The Venon swings his arm, and a shape flies toward me. Drop Vi! Riddick shouts, throwing his hand out, palm down, and a chill sweeps over the front of my legs as spikes rush at my face. I hit my knees and slide along a small sheet of ice as the mace whips over my head, slicing through the air with a whistle.
Not the silver hair, the dark wielder with the sword bellows, and I scramble to my feet, slipping on the blood-covered stone. We need her!
To control Zayden?
Fuck that. I'll never be used against him again.
Mine now!
Rhys shouts, and when I glance left, she's swinging the mace at its previous owner, giving me time to get to the twitching rider on the table.
Hold on,
I tell him, reaching for his throat to staunch the bleeding, but I pause as his last breath rattles his chest and he falls limp. He's gone. My heart clenches for all of a beat before I draw two more daggers and turn toward my friends. The black-haired Venon moves in a blur, ducking beneath the mace Rhiannon swings, then appears before me like he'd been standing there all along.
Fast! They're too damned fast!
My heart jolts as I jerk my dagger to his throat, and he studies me with sickening excitement in his red eyes. Power floods my veins, heating my skin and lifting the hair along my arms.
Ah, the lightning wielder. You're a long way from the sky, and we both know you can't kill me with that knife.
He taunts, and the veins along his temples pulse as Rhys sneaks up behind him, her alloy-hilted dagger poised to strike. Shadows quake at the edges of the chamber, and a corner of my mouth rises.
I won't have to.
His eyes flare in confusion for all of a millisecond before shadows explode around us, immediately devouring every speck of light in a sea of endless black I instantly recognize as home. A band of darkness wraps around my hips and yanks me backward, then brushes my cheek gently, steadying my galloping heartbeat and quieting my power. Screams fill the chamber, followed by a pair of thuds, and I know without a doubt any threat to my life's been extinguished. A heartbeat later, the shadows retreat, revealing the shriveled bodies of the dark wielders on the floor, alloy-hilted daggers embedded in their chests. I lower my weapons as Zayden strides toward me from the center of the room, the hilts of the two swords he keeps strapped to his back peeking above his shoulders. He's in thick winter flight leathers, devoid of any markings but his second lieutenant rank, and speckled with tiny dots of water that tell me he's been out in the snow. Second lieutenant, the same rank as Barlow's guards had been. The same as Garrick, who's standing at the base of the steps behind Zayden and almost every other officer temporarily stationed here to protect Bazgaeth. My heart stutters and my gaze rakes over Zayden's tall, muscled frame, searching for any sign of injury. Gold-flecked onyx eyes meet mine, and my breath stabilizes only when I realize he's unharmed and there isn't a single trace of red to be found anywhere near his irises. He may technically be an initiate, but he's nothing like the Venon we just fought.
Gods, I love this man.
Tell me something, Violence. A muscle in his square jaw ticks as he stares down at me, rippling the tawny brown skin of his stubbled cheek.
Why is it always you?
An hour later, we're dismissed from the debrief with the commandant of the Riders Quadrant, Colonel Pancheck, and sent on our way.
He doesn't even seem fazed that they were working to rescue Barlow instead of going for the Wardstone.
Garrick shoves his hand through his short dark hair as he descends the staircase of the academic wing ahead of Zayden and me.
Maybe it's not the first attempt.
Rhi glances back over her shoulder at Garrick.
It's not like we're getting briefed every day.
We aren't safe here. Not that we ever really were.
Pancheck will notify the other leadership, right?
Riddick asks as we pass the third floor.
Melgrin already knows. There were only two of us down there.
Zayden glances pointedly at Garrick's hand, where his rebellion relic peeks out from the sleeve of his uniform.
I'm just grateful for the ward Sorengil put in place before she left.
Garrick doesn't bother to clarify that he's talking about my sister.
Barlow can't hear or see a thing outside that chamber unless someone opens the door, so it's not like he's gathering new intel. From the look of the stones he's drained within the cell, he'll be dead within the week.
Zayden tenses at my side and I reach for him mentally, but his shields are thicker than the walls of this fortress.
It's not always me.
I whisper to Zayden, brushing my hand against his as we continue down the wide spiral staircase, approaching the second floor. Zayden scoffs, then laces his fingers with mine and brings the back of my hand to his perfectly sculpted mouth.
It is, he replies just as quietly, punctuating the remark with a kiss.
My pulse jumps just like it does every time he puts his lips on my skin, which hasn't happened much in the last couple of weeks.
You know, that whole slay them in the darkness thing was badass,
Riddick lifts his finger.
But I totally had him.
You didn't. Zayden strokes his thumb over mine, and Garrick's shoulders shake with a quiet laugh as we descend the final flight of steps to the main entrance.
I was about to have him,
Riddick argues, shaking that finger.
You weren't,
Zayden assures him.
How could you possibly know that?
Riddick drops his hand. Garrick and Zayden exchange a look of sheer exasperation, and I fight a smile.
Because you were on one side of the room, Garrick says, but your blade was on the other.
A problem I was in the middle of solving, Riddick shrugs, reaching the ground floor with Rhee.
Zayden pauses, tugging my hand in wordless request that I stay with him, which I do.
We should check on the others, Rhee glances up at me. You headed to the Great Hall?
I nod, and nerves jumble in my stomach.
You're ready. You've got this, she says with a flash of a smile. Want us to walk you over?
No, go check on the squad, I reply, and Garrick stills a step beneath us. I'll find you afterward.
We'll be waiting,
Riddick promises over his shoulder as he heads to the left with Rhee, disappearing around the corner.
Everything all right?
Garrick turns our way and studies Zayden's eyes.
It will be if you give us 5 minutes alone, Zayden answers.
Concern knits Garrick's brow as he glances at me, but he quickly smooths his expression when I nod.
For fuck's sake, you trust her to babysit me at night, don't you?
Zayden narrows his eyes on his best friend.
Don't act like I'm the reason you need to be supervised, Garrick fires back.
Shadows creep across the step at our feet.
It's fine, I quickly assure Garrick, keeping my hand entwined with Zayden's much larger one. I'm fine, he's fine, all fine.
Garrick glances between us, then pivots and moves down the steps.
I'll be close by, he warns, turning the corner to the right toward the sparring gym.
Damn it.
Zayden pulls his hand from mine, then leans back against the wall, his swords clinking against the masonry. His jacket falls open as he rests his head on the stone window frame.
I never realized how much I like alone time until I didn't have any.
His throat works, and his hands clench at his sides.
I'm sorry.
I cross the foot of space between us, stepping between his feet and lifting my hand to the side of his neck, right over the magically inked lines of his mark.
Don't be. He has every right to worry about leaving me alone with you.
He covers my hand with his own and lowers his head, slowly opening those eyes I can never get enough of.
I trust you.
Not a trace of red to be seen.
You shouldn't.
He wraps his arm around my waist and tugs me against his body. The contact instantly heats my skin and makes my stomach flip in the best possible way.
I'm pretty fucking sure the only reason he and Bodhi aren't sleeping at the foot of our bed is that they know I would have killed them for it before, let alone now.
Not that we're doing anything in that bed besides sleeping. I might trust him, but he sure as Dune doesn't trust himself, at least not enough to let go of control in any form.
In the spirit of transparency, I should tell you they'd like me to reconsider our sleeping arrangements.
I splay my other hand over his warm chest. His eyes flare and his arm tightens around me.
Maybe you should.
That's not happening. I told Imogen to get fucked.
A smile ghosts his mouth.
I'm sure you did.
They'll stop hovering as soon as you're cured.
My gaze skims the carved line of his jaw, then along the rise of his cheekbones to the locks of his black hair that have fallen over his forehead.
He's still him,
still mine.
His muscles tense beneath my fingers.
You ready to meet with the Cenarium?
Yes, I nod. And don't change the subject. I will find a way to cure you. I put every ounce of my determination into the words and lift my eyebrows at him.
Let me in.
It isn't a request. To my surprise, he lowers his shields, and the shimmering onyx bond between us solidifies. You wielded your signet today, behind the wards. He nods, dropping his hand from mine and fully wrapping his arms around me.
I channeled from Sigale.
I savor the feel of his body against mine, but don't push my luck for a kiss.
Did she tell you we were in trouble?
His gaze falls away and he shakes his head.
She's still not speaking to me. Flying is awkward as fuck.
My chest threatens to crack under the weight of the sadness in his tone. I'm so sorry. I slide my hands around the small of his back and hug him, turning my head so his heart beats beneath my ear. She'll come around.
Don't count on it,
Taryn warns with a growl down the mental pathway that only belongs to us, and I blatantly ignore him. Zayden lowers his chin to the top of my head.
She knows I'm not whole. She senses it.
I startle and pull back, lifting my hands to hold his face.
You're whole, I whisper. I don't know what you paid to access that power, but it didn't change you.
It did, he counters, sidestepping down a stair and out of my arms. I can only think of one way to prove it didn't.
Do you still love me?
I hurl the inquiry at him like a weapon. His gaze snaps to mine.
What kind of question is that?
Do you still love me? I enunciate every word and lean right into his space just to prove that I'm not intimidated by him. He cups the back of my neck and pulls me within inches of his face, close enough to kiss.
I could reach the rank of Maven, lead armies of dark wielders against everyone we care for, and watch every vein in my body turn red as I channel all the power in the continent, and I would still love you. What I did doesn't change that. I'm not sure anything can.
See? You're still you. My gaze drops to his mouth. Telling me you're capable of horrible things while still loving me is pretty much your idea of foreplay. His eyes darken, and he hauls me closer until only his own obstinance separates our lips.
That should scare the shit out of you, Violet.
It doesn't. I rise on my toes and brush my lips over his. Nothing about you scares me. I won't run, Zayden.
Damn it.
He drops his hand and retreats a step, putting space between us again.
With my shields up, I didn't know you were in the interrogation chamber until I was halfway down the stairs.
What? I blink. And how did you know to come help? Silence stretches between us, and a prickle of apprehension makes me shift my weight, aggravating my lower back.
I sensed them, he finally answers. The same way they sense me.
My stomach pitches, and I reach for the wall, splaying my palm over the rough-hewn stone to keep my balance.
That's not possible.
It is. He nods slowly, watching me.
That's how I know I've changed. How Garrick and I have managed to slay more than a dozen of them this week. I can feel them calling to me. Just like I can feel the source pulsing beneath my feet with its incomparable power. Because I'm one of them.
His eyes narrow.
Scared yet?
An excerpt from Recovered Unsent Correspondence of General Lilith Sorengale.
Sometimes I worry about Violet.
She has your sharp wit, quick mind, and steadfast heart, paired with my bullheaded tenacity.
when she finally and truly gives that heart. I fear it will overrule the other gifts you've given her, and logic will cede its voice to love. And if her first two liaisons are any indication of what we might expect, God's help her, my love. I'm afraid our daughter has atrocious taste in men. Chapter 3. Zayden can sense them. My fingernails bend slightly when my hand flexes along the grout line, holding on for dear life as my mind spins. But just because he can sense them doesn't mean he gave up part of his soul, right? It's there in his eyes watching me, waiting for me to reject him or worse, push him away like I did after Resin. Maybe it's more dire than I thought, but he's still whole, still him, just with heightened senses. I shove my stomach right back where it belongs and hold his stare. Scared of you? I shake my head. Never. You will be, he whispers, looking over my features like he needs to memorize them. Your 5 minutes are up, Garrick says from the base of the steps, and Violet has a meeting to get to. Zayden's expression shifts into something dangerous as he glares at his best friend and leans away from me.
She told you we think you should sleep somewhere else, didn't she?
Garrick rolls his neck like he's preparing for a fight. She did. Zayden starts down the steps and I follow. And I'll tell you the same thing she said to Imogen. Get fucked. Figured. Garrick turns a pleading look on me and I smile back as we walk out of the academic wing and into the surprisingly empty rotunda, crossing between two dragon pillars.
Thought you'd at least be logical, Violet.
Me? You're the ones acting based on